All right, Luke chapter 11. We'll finish part two in this passage. You would hardly believe in four verses there could be enough to take two messages to cover it, but I believe there is enough there. We'll read the verses again before we start. Luke 11, verses 1 through 4. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In most cases, if you have been attending here regularly, you'll find that I like to use PowerPoints, I like to use outlines, and sometimes we use handouts for you to fill in. Some might not like to do that, and that's fine, but I find that it helps each and every one of us to kind of concentrate and know where we are going in that passage of Scripture. Some of you know, I realize you keep notes, and sometimes you go home and you use those for devotionals throughout the week, and that's fine. I think it's so much easier if you have an outline for people to follow. Otherwise, it's very difficult sometimes to follow in a message. So that's why we do what we do. We told you the last time that we gathered, which was last week, we hope that you noticed the first four elements of the Lord's blueprint for prayer, and that's what I like to refer to it to as a blueprint. The first four elements for the Lord's blueprint for prayer has to do with God himself. If you read through that, you'll see. If you weren't here last week, you ask Brenda, and she'll make sure that you get a recording, but it is on the internet. It's on our website if you want to hear that message. The second three elements that we're going to look at today have to do with us humans and our well-being. And this is distinguished throughout these verses we're going to look at with certain words that would indicate that's what it's talking about. Words that you come across like us, give us, forgive us, lead us, and deliver us. Well, that's all pointing to our well-being and how important it is in God's eyes. He cares about us. We are his children. So in the last half of the prayer, we turn from praying for God's glory to praying for our needs. One of the profound realities, I think, of the Christian life is for us to realize, if we don't already, that God cares about the simple day-to-day things in our life. He does care about that. We do have needs in our life. He knows about that. The book of Matthew, in a couple of places, one place in particular, it says he's going to take care of us. If he takes care of the birds, takes care of flowers and bees and everything else, he's certainly going to take care of us because we are his prize creation in the first place. Amen? We were created in his likeness, so he is concerned about us. He cares whether we are warm, whether we are fed, whether we are clothed. He cares about that. He is concerned about our whole being, not only spiritual, but also physical well-being. And that includes all of the things that we need to sustain our life while we live here and bring glory to his name in these bodies. We sang this morning about when we get to heaven. That's going to be a glorious time. Not quite there yet. I know I'm going, and I know that things will be a whole lot better and different, especially with glorified bodies. Amen? But even in eternity, he's still going to take care of us. Amen. So, at number five in our outline, we covered, had four in our outline last week. Number five is this: pray with the awareness of a new dependence. We can depend on God. It says, give us day by day our daily bread. Well, what does this request mean? Now, you know, it seems obvious what it means, but let's dig a little bit deeper into that. When, I'm hoping this is true of everybody that sits here, and I think it is, but if you would have a need, please let me know. But I believe that when we woke up this morning, none of us even had the slightest doubt that you would be able to eat something today. Most of the major concerns, even for average Americans, is what will we eat? Not whether we will eat, but what will we eat? And if you doubt that, walk around in your communities and see the robust condition of many people. And some of that comes from overindulging, and some, of course, comes from medication. But if anybody has a need, we certainly want to meet it. But I'd say that most people, those needs are met and taken care of. We are told to pray, give us day by day our daily bread. And I think that is to remind us of our absolute dependence on God for everything. Remember when God fed the children of Israel in the wilderness. He did not rain down the manna and say, now gather all that you need for the next 3 days. Gather all that you need for the next week. He said, gather what you need today, and he even told them, don't try to keep it for tomorrow because it's going to go bad. So there's a reason that God asks us to pray daily for our need. We'll get into that a little bit further down the line when it comes to our spiritual need too. God made us with needs so that we would have to look to him to supply them. In this prayer for daily bread, I believe that bread stands for more than food. We referred to that, and he does meet our daily need as far as sustenance is concerned. But I believe it stands for all the physical things that we need in life. I'm convinced of that. I remember one time where I went to church for 28 years. The pastor told the story of a missionary that went around the area. In fact, he would travel state to state. And in some areas, and this happened even after he had gotten married, he would travel by bike, of all things, on a bike. And it just so happens he found a woman that didn't mind traveling around from church to church in some areas on a bike. And that's what they did. And he said that the funny thing about him is you might have experienced this if you went to a church for any length of time, and we're going back now quite a few years. They would have in some churches what they would call a missionary barrel. Anybody remember missionary barrels in a church? Oh, only two of us. Oh, we're old, lady. We're old. Okay. And what this consisted of is people would bring clothes in. And if you had a need, or even if visiting missionaries coming would have a need, you could go pick out some clothes if it fit you. Well, you put it on and you kept it and you went on home. And usually nobody was walking around when you came in with it on 2 or 3 weeks, except for the kids. The kids might say to mom and dad, Dad, isn't that your coat? You know, or something like that. But nobody bothered you with it. Well, this man, this missionary, he had a habit of living out of missionary barrels. And he was not always color coordinated, if you understand what I mean. This morning when I got up and decided what I wanted to wear, I decided, well, I'm going to wear my green coat today, and I have to find a tie that goes with it. I was looking for one particular tie, and I couldn't find it. So I found this one, but I think this will go okay. You think that went all right with the green coat? Yeah. Then later, when I hung the coat up back here, I noticed something was in my other pocket. Now, what in the world did I put in that coat pocket? I didn't put it in this morning. That was the other tie I was looking for this morning, okay? So sometime in the past, I took it off and put it in there. But he was never collar coordinated, you know. You could tell. People who knew about missionary barrel said, boy, he dressed out of a missionary barrel. But a faithful man. Then finally, he couldn't travel anymore. His wife died, and he lived in a nursing home out in California. And he would send communications to our pastor, and he will always tell him, well, today I had the opportunity to lead a man to the Lord, and it took me a while, but he got saved. And the other guy that I led to the Lord, the other lady that I led to the Lord 2 or 3 weeks ago, she passed away. She's in glory now. So still being an evangelist, still witnessing in the old folks' home. His dead and gone now. His home, but God, what am I saying? God met his needs. God met his needs. Didn't matter what anybody thought about where he got it or whether he was collar coordinated. He was clothed and God took care of him. He was happy, and I think God was pleased with him too. Amen? So that's what counts. To pray this prayer for our daily bread, I believe, expresses our conviction and belief that God is able to answer prayer and to meet our needs. I think he is able to do that. Some of us, I'm sure, you could tell stories how he met those needs in the past. Sometimes we go through some hard times, but he still manages to meet our needs. Now, in the spiritual realm, when we go from the physical now to the spiritual, it's just as true that yesterday's strengths that he gave is absolutely useless to fight today's battles. We need to go to him also daily to ask for strength to meet those spiritual needs for the battles for this day. Yes, you can go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need strength for the next week. Give it to me. Amen. But it's a whole lot better to go and ask, just like this prayer would indicate, not only physical need, but spiritual need. Go to him daily, daily, and ask for his strength. Sometimes we as Christians rely on our experiences with God in the past. Well, that's good. Nothing wrong with that. But we need a fresh touch of God in our lives every day, every single day. God never gives us a reserve of grace in our lives. We need to ask him. Think about the scriptures that even refer to grace. That's important. But we should turn to him each and every day for the grace sufficient to meet the challenges of this day where we're serving him. The phrase, this day, reminds us as believers that we need daily renewal of our spiritual strength. We need it. We need it daily. We often get stressed out with anxiety because we try to face the problems of tomorrow today. And that's where we get into problems. We didn't get there yet. Fact of the matter is, you're not even guaranteed another hour, let alone another day. So take care of things today and then go to God about tomorrow if he sees fit to give you another day to serve him. Amen? That's what's so important. Well, really, I want you to turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus addresses this problem of worry in the Sermon on the Mount. Look at chapter 6, where that is found, and look at verse number 31. I have a couple of phrases underlined in this passage. Actually, let's start at verse 28. I'm going to go back to 25. I want to emphasize the words I have underlined when I start in verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? We already referred to this. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature? Verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, that's an awful lot to assimilate there, isn't it? Now, don't go do like some people do, but see, now there, God told us he'll take care of us, so we don't really have to ask day by day. Well, your heavenly Father does want you to come to him. And first of all, in this prayer that we looked at, this blueprint for the prayer, what do we do first when we go to him? Not immediately go to him and put out all these requests and complaints and everything else, but we go first of all and we bring glory to him, to his name, and all of that. That's so very important. So just some things to consider. When we worry about tomorrow, we are telling the Heavenly Father that we're not sure he can provide for tomorrow's bread, whether it be physical or spiritual. The only way to look at it. We're not just to bring the big things to God, but even our ordinary request we bring to God. He knows, he understands. Even if it is for a coat, for a pair of shoes, a vacation, groceries, even a bicycle. Missionary had prayed for one. He even prayed for one for his wife, and he prayed for a wife that would like to ride a bicycle. And God took care of that need, too. He must have been something. I only ever met him once, and he must have been something to run around with, let's put it that way. Now, we're talking about bread. The ultimate bread is who? It's a person. Jesus Christ himself. The only bread that will satisfy completely and forever is the provision of the Lord Jesus himself. And we will live with him for eternity. What does it say in John chapter 6 and verse 51? I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. It's open to everybody and to all. Number 6 in our outline. Pray with the awareness of God's pardon. Boy, that's important. Pray with the awareness of God's pardon. Forgive us our sins. Oh, now we've got to spend a little time with this. This is important. Some people misinterpret this out of what they call the Lord's Prayer. This petition is not only a specific prayer for forgiveness, forgive us our sins, but also for a forgiving spirit. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. That goes along with it. That goes along with it. In this model prayer, after we have asked the Father for provisions, now we ask for pardon. You see, forgive follows give in that prayer. Underline that and remember it. Forgive follows give. If you look back at the beginning of verse 4, underline the word and, A-N-D, because it links the request for daily bread with the request for daily forgiveness. It links the two together. That's important to realize as a Christian, as a child of God. And that way, when you think of our need for food, we will think of our need for forgiveness. And many of us are conscious of our need for daily bread. We get up in the morning and many of us, if not all of us, are hungry. We wake up hungry, or at least after we get awake completely. But sometimes we are utterly unconscious of our need for daily forgiveness. We forget that. We're glad that we are a child of God. We're thankful that He saved us. And that's all good, and that's wonderful to remember. But if we are sincere when we pray, forgive us our sins, then we are openly admitting ourselves as guilty of wrongdoing, of sin. Remember, we're still in the flesh. We're still living in these bodies. We still have that old nature. Yes, we have the new creation, but we have to do battle with that daily. Daily, we have to do battle. Many people, and I mentioned this earlier, many have the false assumption that because when we are saved, we have no further need to ask for forgiveness or any need to confess our sins. That's wrong. That's not the case. Christians can do and still sin, and therefore they stand in daily need of confession and forgiveness. You are not perfect. If I ask you today if you are perfect, raise your hand, and anybody did it, we might have to call the hospital to have you hauled away, because none of us are perfect. Only God is perfect. Now, when we get those glorified bodies, it'll be completely different. Some of you are laughing. Are you afraid you're going to be carried away here? Why, man? Well, 1 John 1, 8 and 9, familiar passage. This is written to the Christian. Remember in 1 John, I think it is, the many times that he begins a verse by saying, little children. This is a letter to the Christians. 1 John 1, 8, and 9, you're familiar with it. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I have this underlined in my notes because I don't want to miss it. Sometimes I can't cover all the notes, so I just refer to what I can and without you missing anything. But this is important. Remember this about this blueprint prayer. Listen to this. We need to remember that this is a family prayer. This is a family prayer. It does not deal with the sins of unbelievers. Let me say it again. We need to remember that this is a family prayer. It does not deal with the sins of unbelievers. It does not deal with our standing before God. That was settled. That was established at salvation when we accepted the free gift of salvation. That's when that was settled. I can boldly go before the throne of God now. Why? Because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Because even when he died on the cross, we mentioned this before, the veil in the temple that separated the people from the high priest was rent in two from the top to the bottom, because now we have access freely to God the Father. I don't confess my sins to another priest. I confess my sins to God. I can boldly go before his throne and do just that. We receive forgiveness when we were saved, but we will never be able to fully enjoy cleansing in our Christian walk unless we are ready to extend it freely to those who offend us. There's the other part now. Forgive and forgive others. There it is. True believers are forgiven, and true believers are forgiving. Get it? That's important to understand too. That doesn't mean that forgiveness ever comes easily or naturally to even a Christian. It doesn't. And it's always a battle to maintain a forgiving spirit. Why do I have to tell you? The old man. Some say, but I can't forgive. When really they are saying, I can't or I won't. That's the difference. That's what they're saying. Jesus did not tell the disciples and us that they could pray like this: Lord, forgive me my trespasses, and I will try to forgive those who have wronged me. I don't even care what translation, if it's a bad one, I don't think they're dumb enough to put that in there. That's not what he said at all. He told them when they had forgiven others, they could then claim their own forgiveness. You know that it's possible right here. Now, I preached a message one time on a Wednesday, reasons we don't get our prayers answered. And there's a number of them, and even God tells us he's not answering because of this, that, or the other thing. But the possibility is that we're touching on a principle right here that causes unanswered prayers in our life. That's something to think about. And this whole place got quiet, and that's the way it should be. And I got quiet when you think about that. When we do not forgive, we set up a roadblock in our prayer life. Just think about it. Number 7, last point. Pray with the awareness of God's protection. God's protection. Two points to this. The passage there where it says, and lead us not into temptation. Well, in the preceding petition, it says, forgive us our sins. The request was that sins already committed might be forgiven. But here we have a plea to be delivered from falling into new sins. Part of it too, protection. The petition in the prayer is primarily for our protection. And by teaching us to pray for God to not lead us into temptation, it's not suggesting that God is the one who tempts us. He does not tempt us. There's even scripture that tells us that. In James chapter 1, verse 13. Rather, it accepts the danger of temptation and acknowledges our deficiency in dealing with it and asks deliverance from it. Not that he gives the temptation. If we're to win the battle against temptation, we must realize and have the reality that the Bible is very clear, especially in Ephesians, when it talks about the armor of God. We are in a warfare, and we will be until God takes us home to be with him. It's a battle. It's a battle. And we cannot be victorious over stuff that we do not understand. We also we need to acknowledge our inability to handle temptation, even our own. Well, who in the world could help us? Well, sometimes, perhaps other brothers and sisters, but what's the most important person that helps us each and every time? The Holy Spirit that dwells within us. The Holy Spirit that dwells within us. We have to remember, everybody can fall into sin. Everybody. Everybody. When we pray for God's protection from temptation, we are agreeing with the high priestly prayer that Jesus made in John chapter 17. You want to refer in the Bible to the Lord's Prayer? Here's where you should reply to. This is the Lord's Prayer, John chapter 17. Read it. He is literally praying for the disciples and for us. And what does he say in chapter 17, John 17, verse 15? I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. And really, what that is saying, even in the Greek, is from the evil one. Who is the prince and the power of the air? Satan. Satan. And without the help of the Holy Spirit, you don't stand a chance against him. You don't stand a chance. The second part of the prayer for God's protection is found in the request, deliver us from evil, actually referring to the evil one. When you use that phrase, deliver us from the evil one, you are admitting that this life is a struggle with an enemy that opposes us, and he don't back off or give up. Even in the temptation where Satan went against Jesus, if I have this correct, it says after he was done with the three temptations, I'm paraphrasing, he left for a while. He wasn't going to quit or give up, and he don't with you either. There's another reason for the request of and the prayer of daily bread referring to spiritual need each and every day. That even makes it clear. And although Satan may be the ruler of this present evil world, though he may be the prince of the power of the air, though he may have cohorts called evil spirits that do his command, he has no claim over me as a child of God. Nor does he have power to tempt me that the Father will not give me strength and a way to escape from it. The Bible tells me that. Now, that ends our study. Maybe a little bit different study than you heard presented concerning the Lord's Prayer, but I think an important one for us to consider and realize. Now, there's nothing wrong with people, even in church, In fact, I think it's even in our hymn book, I think. And sometimes people turn to it and they read it aloud in church. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, there is a song. They changed the words, but there's a song called The Lord's Prayer. I've heard it sung very well and I've heard it sung badly, but there's nothing wrong with that. But it's important for us to understand that this is a blueprint on how we should pray and why we should pray. Amen? Let's pray.